There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Today. Good morning. If you're just joining us, it is the 7th day of May, 2015. I'm Jack Blood, your radio gun, is always filling in for Joyce here on Thursdays. DeadlineLive.info, RadioFreeBlood.com are my websites, and you can find us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Known our guest here for the next 30 minutes, Phil Berg, for many, many years. When I met him, he was standing up acting as the lawyer for Ellen Mariani, whose husband was killed in the World Trade Center tower attacks on the morning of September 11, 2001. The perpetrators, of course, being the Bush administration and the gaggle of neocons and executives at Global Corp. And that was a tough case, Phil, but I was so glad you fought it. You're back after a two-year absence. Your websites have been hacked. You've been attacked from all sides. Your new effort is called Obama Scare. So I'm happy to have you on the show, Phil, to talk about it.
Pleasure to be on here with you, Jack. It's been a long time, but I haven't given up the fight. Obama, I called him a fraud and a phony back in 2008. I still say that. Except it's a lot worse. When he got into office, he said he's going to change his country. And unfortunately, he has, but to our detriment. And it's scary. And I say that throughout my book, Obama Scare. I'm excited it just came out. And I go in there chapter by chapter about, really, people don't realize there's about 40 scandals that have occurred. And it's really scary and frightening because the media doesn't report it. And I condensed it all into a 300-page book. Some people say, well, if you're discussing all the scandals, it should be 1,000 pages. I said, yeah, but no one's going to read 1,000 pages. So I condensed it down, and I talk about every topic. Not too much on the current, and I'm going to do something on YouTube on the current, because Congress is talking about reviewing the agreement, if they get one, with Iran over nuclear weapons. Well, they're going to get an agreement. But I don't think that's the point. I think the point, the American public and all your listeners, we have to start writing, texting, and calling every congressman, your senators, and copies to the White House to stop negotiating. How do you negotiate with someone who's a blatant liar, who has not allowed inspectors in? So I don't.
Well, I mean, are you talking on the behalf of the Iranians? Why should they negotiate with blatant liars? That would be, unfortunately, our alleged President Obama, Cousin Barry, as I call him, or potentially Jeb Bush. I mean, Obama's been so bad, he's actually opened the door for another Bush to be president, Phil. I mean, that is really the height of incompetence, I suppose.
Well, absolutely, but you're right. Why should they trust us? But the difference is, that Obama, he wants to be the president who brought the troops out of Iraq. However, Iraq's a mess. He wants to be a president that did everything for Obamacare. Obamacare is a mess. And now he wants to be the president who negotiated a deal with Iran. And the minute they negotiate a deal with Iran, and Iran now wants all the sanctions lifted, they'll get like $50 billion or something like that. They'll have a nuclear weapon in like 2 months because they'll go out and buy it. They'll buy it with that kind of money from...
Well, listen, I mean, but again, that gets into a whole different category, doesn't it, Phil? We're going to go to break here in about 2 minutes, and then we'll have a longer segment here to flesh this out with you. But, you know, I heard this today. North Korea will nuke us if they're provoked. I just don't see that really being a problem. I know we're being sold this bill of goods that the Iranians are nuts and they're crazy and they'll commit suicide if they get their hands on a nuclear weapon. How many have we been hearing that for about 10 years, right? So, I mean, you know, treaties, laws, agreements are made to be broken. The Iranians know that. I thought the plan was, according to the Brookings Institution, I'm sure you've heard of them, Phil, was that we'd be the good cop and Israel would be the bad cop. And it seems like that's exactly the path we're going down right now. So Obama gets to play the good cop, and that plays well to his base, as does bringing Cuba into the fold, as being the marijuana president, as creating officer friendly now on the street. He's going to reform the entire American police force, Phil. So, as you mentioned, Obamacare, he's given everybody free health insurance and health care. The economy's doing great, at least if you're in the top 1%.
Yeah, but we're a total mess. And
this is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait.
No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Phil Berg is with us today. It's been a while since we've talked to Phil. Phil's a lawyer in Pennsylvania and has been real active in getting at the truth here for much more than 10 years. So I appreciate you, Phil. Your website is ObamaCrimes.com, ObamaCrimes.com, where you can go see all of Phil's work. His new work is Obama Scare, and that's really what it is. That's out on Amazon. You can get it at ObamaCrimes.com, get it anywhere, or you can get it online, or you can get hard copies. Phil, I appreciate you being here with us. We've got about 15 minutes in this segment and maybe another 5 minutes to finish you out here. So let's tell people, where's the meat? Where's the beef? We want to give people the actual proof, the evidence that we have a criminal in the White House.
Well, you have so many things. I mean, first off, anyone, and there's still some, unfortunately, I don't know how, Obama supporters there. And when I come across them, I say, let me ask you one question. Why has Obama sealed all his records? You always steal records because you're hiding something. And he has hid his everything from his life from about age 10 to about age 25. We don't know anything about him. But the key is he was adopted in Indonesia. And the key is his adopted name is Barry Sotoro. And his nationality is listed as Indonesia and his religion is listed as Islam. And that's significant because even though his records are sealed, people at Occidental College in California remember calling him Barry. And the reason they called him Barry, that's his adopted name. I believe that was his legal name. I believe it's still his legal name. I don't even think he's a U.S. citizen. Forget where he was born. It's irrelevant because the adoption controls his life. And that's what's significant. I mean, think about it. You know, I was the first person to sue Obama. I sued him three times on different issues. And he's been sued probably 50 to 100 times. Why would you spend $3 to $10, $20 million fighting all these lawsuits? But the significant is where he was born, where he was adopted. It's all really irrelevant because it comes down to the fact that he's going to go down in history as the worst president. The only fear I have
I think 20 years he'll be looked at as Ronald Reagan, who I didn't think was a very good president myself. And I'm sure some people won't like me saying that, but it's that revisionist history is always pretty amazing. Hey, do you know where, did you do the research, Phil, to find out where, because I always thought this was kind of the key to the Obama birther issue, where his mom was at the time of his birth in that window of where he would have been born? Did you locate where she was? Because, you know, logically where the mother is where the son would be born, right?
Absolutely. I have documentation in my book that he was born in Kenya. I have his step-grandmother on recording stating she was in the hospital August 4th, 1961, and sitting next to her at her home when it was recorded was a minister from the Anabaptist churches. On the phone was another minister in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I have both of their affidavits. But, you know, like I say, it's really irrelevant, but he was born there. This is nonsense about Hawaii. The big thing on the birth certificate, that's when Donald Trump was pushing him, and Obama comes walking into the press room April 27, 2011, said, here's my birth certificate. Well, no one looked at it. But the big blatant mistake right there is it asked for his father's race. Father's race is listed as African. In 1961, no one was African. You were either colored or Negro. And I have a copy of his birth certificate that he produced.
Well, I mean, let me move it along. Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on the birth of thing. But,
oh, sure.
Phil,
sure.
But, I mean,
the matter is
they put out that live birth certificate, which seemed covered up and photoshopped. But listen, we had a referendum on this in 2012, allegedly, and Obama was, again, allegedly selected and reelected, and people had full knowledge that he might not be. I guess, you know, because this is a very fine point, eligible to be president. Look at Ted Cruz. His mother was born here. His father was born in Cuba. He was born in Canada. Do you see anybody complaining about him not being eligible to be president? Really?
And that's not the issue. The biggest issue with Obama is, look at what he's done. I don't know what's worse. I think one of the worst things he has done is the red line in Syria. He said, I drew a red line in Syria. Then he said, oh, I didn't draw the red line. Well, I go as far as saying this. If he had adhered to that red line in Syria, I don't think Putin would have gone into Crimea. I don't think the so-called pro-Russian, which were Russian troops, would have gone to Ukraine. I don't think a Russian missile would have been Ukraine. And I go as far as saying that I don't believe the Russian missile would have shot down that Malaysia plane.
How was the red line crossed? How was the red line crossed in Syria? Can you remind me of that, please?
Well, that was gas. He says if they use gas, we're going to, we won't allow it, we'll do certain things. And all of a sudden he said, oh, I didn't draw the red line, someone else drew the red line.
Why did the United Nations go in and do an immediate forensic? This is actually unprecedented. They got right on the ground after that so-called gas attack and found that Assad wasn't responsible for it. In fact, these foreign fighters from Libya and all around the world that we call ISIS now, that or al-Nusra, that they would have been responsible. They would be the most likely people that would have been responsible for that. So they tried it twice, Phil, and it seemed to have failed twice, and even the United Nations didn't go along with that. Is that a red line that should not have been crossed?
Well, perhaps, but it goes back on Obama. He said a red line, then he said he didn't do the red line. But more significant is what the discussion's going on right now. Benghazi. I think Benghazi is 1,000 times worse than Watergate. No one died in Watergate. Here we lost a U.S. ambassador, 3 Navy SEALs, and all of a sudden no one knows anything about it. 5 days later, everyone knows that Susan Rice, the national security advisor, went to five TV stations and said it all came from this internet video. Most people don't know or don't remember that 10 days after Benghazi, Obama goes to the United Nations. And five times in a speech at the United Nations, he blames Benghazi on that internet video. People don't know that or don't remember that. I believe that Obama should be in jail on that one, and then perhaps even Hillary, because now we know they spoke about the evening of the Benghazi thing at 9:30 that night from an email that came out. So that's the cover. They keep ducking it. They don't produce the facts. You know, some people say there was gun running. I don't care what occurred there. We, the people, should know what it was. We lost a U.S. ambassador and three Navy SEALs, and they say, oh, no big deal, and they won't produce the documentation, the facts on it.
Well, and look at the chaos that Libya has spiraled into, and that would be a direct result to foreign intervention in Libya, which I think we would know better about. No nation building for Obama. They just let the whole crap load go down the toilet. And I think that is certainly something he should be accountable for. You know what I thought was probably the worst scandal? Forget all the neocon stuff, Phil. Is Fast and Furious, and you cover that in your book. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned, well, Fast and Furious was gun running. You know, we supplied guns to Mexico to certain people. We ended up losing a border guard. It turned out that he was shot with a gun, which was financed through Fast and Furious. And that's another thing that Eric Holder hid and didn't cover. I mean, Eric Holder and Obama together were a team that has really maneuver things against us, and both of those with incidents that have occurred recently, with Ferguson, Missouri, and even with Baltimore, the way their talk comes out now, Eric Holder's out of office. But those guys are race baiters. They've made it worse in this country. I mean, I can't think of one good thing that Obama has done for the benefit of all the citizens in this country. ISIL, as they travel through Iraq. We now know that Obama knew about it a year before. When they took the first city in Iraq, we should have eliminated them. But no, we watched them take every city in Iraq. And the Obama's people are happy. They put out a press release that last month or 2 months ago, they did 200 bomb droppings in a month. If you want to eliminate them, do 200 bomb droppings a day.
No, I know. They're not trying to eliminate them. I don't know how in the loop you are, but I do this every day. I watch the news every day. We have dropped weapons and supplies to so-called ISIS. ISIS was, if you remember, you were the one that talked about the red line and you know what needs to be done in Syria. These were our fighters. They were fighting Assad. Call it blowback, call it incompetence, but don't say it's not happening. All of that was even on Fox News before ISIS, the name ISIS was invented. Again, I didn't want to go into the neocon stuff because I think it's important that since so many people are being arrested for the drug war here, and you look at Obama's past, is there a drug he didn't do? I think he got to the point where he said, Phil, I tied off, but I didn't shoot up. That's a far cry from I didn't inhale. Okay, that's a long way down the road from there. And then you find that our DEA, our FBI, our CIA are partying with hookers and drugs and whatnot in Mexico, party favors supplied by the drug cartels. So, I mean, that seems to me to be one of the biggest scandals that we have sitting right in front of us. I mean, we could look at that IRS, how we use the IRS as a weapon. We could, you know, look at the unsolicited murder of Americans, including reporter Michael Hastings and drones. All of these things, ginned up intel for these neocon wars or neolib wars, scandal after scandal after scandal, and much of it would lead right to treason. I think what they're going to end up saying is, kind of like Reagan, he was confused. He was out of the loop. He didn't really know about any of this stuff, and he was just kind of at the helm, at the switch, and he was busy with Jay-Z and Beyonce, just didn't even notice this was going. It wasn't really his fault. That was the excuse Reagan used in Iran-Contra.
Yeah, but the difference is he's a lot younger than Reagan, number one, and number two, he is aware of what's going on, and it's to our detriment. I mean, he speaks, if you look at his speeches, first off, he's a great speaker in front of a teleprompter. He's gotten better, but he's not that good off a teleprompter. But it's incident after incident. We should have known it when he was campaigning. Do you remember when he was campaigning? I think it was out in Iowa. All the other candidates are standing there on the platter saluting when the national anthem is being played, and he's standing there with his hands in his crotch. He refused to salute the flag. He refused to wear an American flag on his lapel. We should have known. In 2009, one of the first things he did, he went to the Arab nations with his apology tour, apologizing for the actions of the United States. Granted, we're not perfect, but you don't go out and apologizing for actions of the United States. And on that first trip, the writing was on the wall for Israel because he didn't stop by Israel. And then, I mean, it's just so many things. And how about, how many presidents can you or your listeners identify that have bowed down to a leader, a foreign leader? None. But Obama has bowed down.
George Bush was bowing and kissing leaders, too. So, look, I mean, and they are cousins. I think that's probably the most important thing about Obama's birth certificate or who his family were. His mother was CIA, worked with Timothy Geithner as an asset all over the world. Timothy Geithner's father. So there you go. And his parents are related to Cheney's and Bush's. His grandparents on his white side are all related to the powers that be, the kings and queens of Europe. So what this is in a way that a lot of people can understand is it's nepotism. Are we going to break, guys? Did we get a cue on the break? It looks like we should be at that right now. So are we on the
829? Order your living
see?
Probiotics.
They're not cueing me
okay.
for the break. Probably because we got
and
on the
probiotics
phone.
Comes with them.
We'll come back and do a couple of minutes with you, Phil. Stay with us.
Okay, you got it.
Bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
What are you listening to? Have you tried the Power Hour 24/7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-562-6121. No apps, no data, no internet needed, and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call now, 605-562-6121. Now you can listen to the Power Hour when you want. Bookmark the Power Hour 24/7 listen line number today, 605-562-6121. Got it? Call 605-562-6121.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237.
Cool. Erg. Phil's been around for a long time. ObamaCrimes.com is his website. It should be noted, Obama Scare is the new book. You can check it out there. It should be noted that Phil is a lifelong Democrat, a life member of the NAACP, had once supported Hillary Clinton. Is that right, Phil? I'm really surprised that you have, in 2 years, we haven't talked to you in a while, you really are echoing a lot of the aims and justifications to invade foreign lands and go kill Muslims. You sound a lot like a neocon, man. I can't help but notice it, and you're a Democrat.
Well, I'm a Democrat, and I stayed a Democrat because I want to get Democrats to open their eyes and wake up to what's going on. I mean, I'm embarrassed to be a Democrat right now. I mean, there's other things with Obama that he continues to do, and the judge in my first case said that Obama had been properly vetted. He was never vetted. No one asked him any questions, and that's significant. But some other significant things. How about the Bergdahl prisoner exchange? We say we don't negotiate with our enemies. Well, the day that Bergdahl was released, which everyone knew he was a deserter, and Obama brings his father and mother to the White House, we knew on that day that the five Taliban were released. And Obama said it was a coincidence. I mean, there's no coincidences in life. And that was another disgrace. How about Obamacare? I still can't forget Nancy Pelosi saying, let's pass this bill so we can read it to find out what's in it. I mean, sure, there's some good points in Obamacare, but most of it should be thrown out. The Republicans were elected. They said they're going to throw it out, and they haven't done it yet. And how about the Keystone Pipeline? That's held up because he's still reviewing it. It's 6.5 years.
You're a supporter of the Keystone Pipeline, are you?
Yeah, the Keystone Pipeline should go through. The only thing we should make a condition that if the Canadian oil was going to come through the United States, we should make sure that 20, 30, 40% of it stays here in the United States.
That would be an issue. And also make sure, I don't know, is it such an important aspect of national security or oil security, Phil, that, by the way, I'm for free Tesla energy myself, but whatever, going right down to the Koch brothers factory in Houston, should we be able to use eminent domain to take people's land and property to put that through? Are you for that too?
Well, I don't think that's the problem right now. The problem is...
that is the problem. And there's people's land, including Native American land, in the way of the pipeline. That would be a problem. See, I don't think Obama is even against this. I think that they're using it as some kind of a wedge issue. And I don't like to get involved in things like that. But if he ever gets credit for stopping that thing, and I think it's all for show, Phil, I'd be on his side. I'd give him that one. You got to read the fine print with Obama because they banned asset forfeitures, allegedly, and they have it in their budget for this year. They are legalizing poverty all over the place, but they still prosecute people, through the federal police force. They're going to make cops more friendly and put cameras on cops to help the African-American community, if that's the case. But we'll see that's just another ruse. So as much as I would like to give him credit for something, when you read the fine print with Obama, it doesn't look very good.
Well, because he talks out of both sides of his mouth. Then you have Reverend Al Sharpton running to a... You don't see these individuals going to Chicago where there's 10 shootings a weekend up to 100 shootings a weekend. It's just outrageous what's going on. Obama has not helped the black community. Obama hasn't really helped anyone in this country, and we're in bad shape in this country. We used to be have the best military force. He's cut us to pre-World War II levels. We used to be respected. Now we're being laughed at, and people say, well, he'll be out of office soon. He's got 18 more months. Remember what he said. I have my cell phone and I have my pen. And right now, Russia's contemplating what else they can do, and China's thinking what they can do, and North Korea. Everyone's thinking we got a year and a half, we could do whatever we want, because he's not going to do anything to stop us.
No, he's going for broke, and they are going to do signed statements, executive orders. They're going to do everything they can in this time they have remaining. Speaking of which, that brings us to the phony election. Are you supporting Bush or Clinton? It sounds like you might be supporting Jeb Bush. Are you going to? But Clinton's pretty much a neocon too. Which one are you going to support in that race?
Well, I'm not sure Bush gets the nomination. I don't know who gets it, but yeah. I can't support Clinton right now. I mean, the missing emails. I mean, what's really going on, and what's with all the money that's going to this foundation? They better answer some questions. Suddenly they're going to file amended returns now because they forgot to include everything in their tax returns for the last 5 years. I mean, who's kidding who? If you or I did it, we'd be in jail right now.
Yeah, I know. No, if I ran for POTUS, my entire background, all the skeletons would come out of my closet. ObamaCrimes.com. He's Phil Berg. Phil, interesting evolution in your process. Thank you for sharing it with us today.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll be right back. Ben Swan with us on the broadcast. What can I say, folks? I'll be right back. I'm Jack Blood. This is the Power Hour.
Nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
That book would sell well with both Democrats and Republicans. Now that Democrats have become the resident neocons, warmongers, Muslim haters. Man, well, I'm not going to apologize for that. Maybe it was good radio, so I'm down with that. Ben Swan is with us. Ben does an excellent job. One of my favorite people in the media. You may not always agree with him. He may not go all the way where you go. But, man, does he open up cans of worms and provide some empirical evidence to what's going on around us. I think he's one of the most valuable media sources out there. BenSwan.com. Ben Swan joins us on the Power Hour. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, Jack. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. I was excited because you guys had sent me a mail. You're expanding. So I wanted you to first tell the listeners about what's going on with Truth in Media and BenSwan.com and what are the new features you've added. And then let's talk a little news.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, BenSwan actually doesn't exist anymore. It is now truthinmedia.com is the new site, and we're really expanding our reach. We're bringing in new contributors to be a part of what we're doing. We still have our crew of writers who have been with me for really since the launch 2 years ago, and they continue to do an amazing job. But we're expanding that. We'll be carrying the Ron Paul Liberty Report. We're teaming up with Julie Borowski and Jason Stapleton. So we're bringing on more folks to be a part of what we're doing and just trying to expand our reach.
And people can go to truthinmedia.com and
correct.
See your podcast episode, the news that you guys produce. And you're usually first on the story with great connections. So if people want to get started on a story, I think you're the best place to go. If they want to, you know, develop into some more abstract information, maybe not the best place to go. But sometimes you are really right on that, Ben, and I appreciate you for it. You know, it's funny because years ago I kept saying, I'd give people your website, and they keep saying it was truthinmedia.com, and you'd always correct me and say it's BenSwan.com. But now,
that's right. That's what you decided. You know what? Let's just give in. Let's just give in.
All right. Support this site and go check out truthinmedia.com and Ben Swan. Ben, you were in the mainstream media. You worked at a Fox affiliate, and you actually interviewed in the last election. You sat down face-to-face with Obama and Mitt Romney, so you've got some pretty good credentials, man.
Yeah, I had a chance to sit down with both of them and grill them both. I don't think either of them ended up liking me very much at the end of the day, and that's a good thing. One of the things I think we're seriously missing, Jack, in our political discourse is that we do not have an opposition media anymore. And we have media that advocates for one side or the other, as opposed to having media that really tries to create checks and balances, within the system. And so, the goal of us, what we were doing in 2012 was really to confront both of these guys who were running for president, confront the system, confront the Commission on Presidential Debate, confront the parties, Republican and Democratic parties, about policies. You said as we were leading into this interview, it's funny how Democrats have become the neocons. And it's true, they have, but unfortunately, Republicans haven't given up the position as the neocons. We just now have one giant neocon party and two wings of it.
I just had a former Democrat on who sounded a lot like a neocon. I can't tell the difference. And let me tell you, when I watch CNN and Fox now, I see the exact same reporting and the exact same opinions. I really don't see any difference. There used to be an opposition party, an opposition network. When a Democrat's in power, you go watch Fox. When a Republican's in power, you go watch MSNBC, General Electric, Comcast, and at least you'll get some good information. Now the whole thing has amalgamated into one giant propaganda service. So, yeah, we do need countering opinions, and that's why you're there, man. So I appreciate it. And what do you get, 10%, 5% truth from the mainstream media now? This ISIS thing, you want to tackle that for a minute? Because we just had a guy on that was justifying, you know, going and getting ISIS. I'm sorry to my listeners for that. But
well, no,
the history
great.
Of that...
will create some contrast to what he was talking about. So, look, when it comes to ISIS, the first thing you have to know is that ISIS was not fully created by the United States. So a lot of people say ISIS was created by the U.S. It wasn't really created by them. ISIS has existed since 2006. As an insurgent group inside of Iraq. ISIS, as we know it today, was created by the United States, not because we were the, you know, originator of it, but because we, number one, created a power vacuum from which ISIS could grow and rise. We did that in Iraq, obviously, in 2003 by going into the country and blowing a hole in it. But then in 2009, 2010, 2011, when the U.S. began helping the Saudis with this plan to overthrow Assad in Syria, and we started training, quote-unquote, rebel forces. We were training, quote-unquote, moderate Muslims, the same thing that we're, by the way, spending $500 million to continue to do with the Free Syrian Army. First of all, what is a moderate Muslim fighter? What does that look like? How do you take someone through a process and say, we're going to determine whether or not you're a moderate? So we go into these countries, we arm these guys, we as we did in Syria, we provided training to them, we provided weapons to them, we taught them how to kill, we taught them how to fight, we gave them weapons, and then the Free Syrian Army, many of those guys turned around and said, we're not going to fight Assad anymore, They joined with ISIS, and they went back into Iraq, and they captured massive amounts of military equipment that we left in Iraq. I was talking to a special forces friend of mine just a couple of weeks ago about this, and we were talking about the amount of military equipment left inside of Iraq. And one of the things he said to me is people have no clue how much stuff is there. And one of the things he pointed out is that, because I asked him, why didn't we take that stuff with us? He said it was impossible. It's impossible to have taken all that stuff out of Iraq. Because we're talking about $1 billion worth of MRAPs and tanks and Bearcats sitting on the ground there. And the cost to transport it out of the country would have been just unbelievable. And so my next question for him was, well, why don't we just bomb it? Why don't we just drive all that stuff out into some desert area and just drop a bomb on it? He said, well, that would have made more sense. Instead, we left it in the hands of the Iraqi army, who just, you know, dropped their guns and ran. And so suddenly ISIS, who we trained and armed in Syria, now had literally was given the equipment and the armories and the machinery of a full-fledged fighting military force. And that was all the result of the American taxpayer, all the result of foreign policy, all the result of
no, minimally it's incompetence. Yeah, minimally, Ben, it's incompetence, and I hate that excuse. I mean, because, again, like FDR said, there are no accidents in politics. If something happened, you better bet it was planned. It happened on purpose. I like how you kind of put it, though, because ISIS was potentially an organic uprising. I got to tell you, I have people in Iraq, Ben, and what they said was when ISIS became and came into Iraq was just about the time the Iraqi people were going to stand up and try to, you know, really take their country back and get the remaining occupiers out. But if ISIS was born through the occupation, and maybe, you know, we can call these guys freedom fighters or terrorists, religious fanatics, whatever, then they were taken over. You know what it reminds me of is how the Tea Party and the Occupy movement were taken over in this country, you know, seeding money and giving people money and dividing people and sending in provocateurs. It's very close to that in a way, isn't it?
Well, it is. And keep in mind that the leadership of ISIS, the original leadership, in 2006, the way those guys connected to each other was actually in prisons in Iraq where the U.S. would capture radicals, so-called radicals around the country, and then we would take them all to the same prison, and we were putting these guys all in the same prison. And so what we actually did was we found guys who might have been separated by, you know, 100 miles of geography, who might have been separated through lifestyle or even through religious belief and all that, separated across the country, and actually took them all into one condensed space and gave them access to each other. And that's where they first kind of drew up their plan to become this insurgent group in 2006. And then ultimately, from that, as we talked about, where it went. So it's two things, right? Number one is it's either just the goal is we're going to create more and more enemies abroad so that we continue to have wars to fight and bombs to build and drones to create and weapons to sell. And I think that's a big part of it, you know. But the other part of it is it's also, as you said, sheer incompetence, right? It's a group of people who are completely foolish running the system. At the same time, another group of people who are completely corrupt quite frankly, I think evil running the system, who say, look, we're going to allow just destruction of entire people groups because it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, we're not doing anything to dispel any support for a group like if it's ISIS or Al-Qaeda or any kind of Mujahideen, you know, by continuing to drone and attack and kill innocent people. In fact, I think it was in Syria here just about a week ago, something like 100 innocents got killed by a United States bomb attack, and many of them were children. So that doesn't look good on the poster either for recruitment. What did you make of this Garland, Texas cartoon shooting? Once again, we see the same MO being carried out, that the perpetrators were well known to the FBI, that they've had incidents in their past of violence and terrorism. They're not in prison. Apparently, they're not under any surveillance. And then you have this other side of it. The provocateurs at AFDI and Pam Geller with the Muslim cartoon contest literally provoking these people, prior knowledge that they knew the attack was coming. I mean, how seriously do we take this? It's almost laughable sometimes.
And doesn't it feel a little bit laughable? I mean, when you look at how it all kind of shook out, and the fact that no one was killed except for the two gunmen, the fact, as you said, they had prior knowledge, the fact that the FBI had befriended one of these guys, and the FBI agent had, so they knew them well. We see this happen over and over, where the FBI is helping to thwart or stop a terrorist attack before something happens, but you look into the details of it, and you find out they're the ones who are actually setting a lot of this up. They're creating a lot of this. And so the media even wants to. It's interesting, if you watch this story, the media wants to create a frenzy of ISIS has finally attacked on U.S. soil. But candidly, I just don't feel like there's a frenzy coming from the public. Like, people just, it almost feels like this is so blatantly lazy in terms of how it's all been laid out, and the fact that these guys, even if they were inspired by ISIS, aren't truly ISIS. They weren't ISIS fighters. And so you kind of watch the whole thing, and at the same time you have Pam Geller, who's just, just a nut job. Here's a woman who is intentionally trying to defame and anger people with this contest, and doing it in the name of freedom of press and freedom of journalism. And I got to tell you too, Jack, real quick, I just want to say I've been on record saying this quite a bit, and people have disagreed with me, and that's fine, but I am not a guy who is this. Is to see, how is it said, Sui, see Charlie, or whatever, stand with Charlie, I am Charlie, for Charlie Hebdo. It's garbage. Charlie Hebdo was not journalism. It was not a paper written that would stand up for freedom of the press. These guys were a bunch of pigs who did nothing but write vulgar violence.
All right, but we have to protect their rights to do that.
I agree with you, but I would not call them journalists. This is not an attack on journalism, as a journalist kept saying that it was and trying to stand.
No, good point, but look at how people's free speech was taken away from them after that. So I expect...
Absolutely, and I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying that when you have people who are basically drawing cartoons of nuns being sodomized and all kinds of stuff that's just disgusting, why would we set them up as the great example of how we have to defend free speech?
Well, no, but the fact, no, but my point was, Ben Swan with us, truthinmedia.com. You're listening to The Power Hour. I'm Jack Blood with you this morning, this Thursday. No, I was just pointing out the hypocrisy that we're told that, this was such a big attack on free speech, just as we're being told as this cartoon event in Garland, Texas is a big attack on free speech. But these are the very people that don't want us to have free speech, Pam Geller and the people at Charlie Hebdo, or even the establishment in Paris or in France. They're taking away our free speech, and they don't want us commenting on Israel or drones or the banks,
right.
Anything
right.
Else. So,
and
right
away, you try to start talking about Israel.
Yeah, it goes one way, apparently. Let's move forward. Ben Swan with us. We've got him for a couple of more minutes in this segment, and if you'll stay with me for a few more minutes just to finish this up for the half hour, I'd love it. Ben, thank you for coming on with such short notice. Just does an amazing job. Truthinmedia.com. Let's talk about Baltimore. The curfew was lifted, I guess, yesterday or the day before, so now you can go out at night without being shot or arrested. Really, what we saw there was full-blown martial law. How do you break that down? Today, a story came out that Freddie Gray, it appeared later, had a knife. So the police would have had no way to know that he had a knife, and they're just accusing him of running in a high-crime area. Their policy is to chase and stop that person. Here, we mentioned in Atlanta, where I live, Ben, they have a new TV media campaign. If you see the cops, don't run. Just whatever you do, don't run.
Wow. Well, that's incredible in and of itself. Look, a couple of important things about the knife. I've been out in Baltimore. We were covering it live out there really since the beginning and long before the riot started. For a week before that, we were in Baltimore covering it. And one of the things that's important for people to understand, I talked to the attorney early on for the Gray family, Jason Downs, and one of the things he told me at the time was there was a claim that Freddie Gray had a knife in his pocket. I want to see the knife. I still haven't seen the knife. Well, to this day, since Freddie Gray's arrest, I believe, on April 12th, and I believe he passed away on April 19th, there has not been any evidence of this knife shown to the attorney. Well, now an attorney for one of the police officers says, I also want to see the knife, and what it's all coming down to is whether or not Freddie Gray had a switchblade or a regular pocket knife in his pocket, because if he had a switchblade with a spring in it, that's illegal inside of the city of Baltimore. If he didn't, then it have a spring in it, then the knife was legal. And it's all coming down to this, Jack. And what you just said is actually the point that's being missed, which is that, number one, Freddie Gray did not display a knife of any kind when he was seen. He made eye contact with an officer and ran. He was pursued and arrested, and then supposedly they found the knife. The other part of it is the Supreme Court has already ruled that, police have a right in high-crime areas to pursue a suspect or stop them without cause because they're in a high-crime area. So the defense for the police officers is going to be the Supreme Court's already ruled on this, and legally we have every right to do this. And they are correct in that point.
A majority of Americans want them to do that. A majority of Americans who don't feel safe on the streets want them to do that. And maybe therein lies the problem.
That, I think that is the problem. And I think part of the problem, too, is how do you define high crime area? I'm sitting here in Washington, D.C. right now talking to you, and I'll tell you this. I can walk down here to the Capitol, and I could argue that is a high crime area.
That's where all the – they call it the District of Criminals, in fact. That's what D.C. stands for. You can't throw a rock without hitting a criminal there.
That's right. And yet it would never be defined under these terms as high crime because what are they really saying? When you're saying high crime, you're saying high minority population, high drug crime. But even drug crime is not the same
right.
Because, again, you're walking through parts of D.C. and there's plenty of lobbyists and policymakers and lawyers who are walking around who are all cocaine users, and yet that's not considered a drug area. The high drug area is in Southeast D.C. So it all really comes down to how it's being defined, and that's one of the big problems we have.
Right. A little bit more on this. Ben, just stay with me for about six, seven more minutes. Can you do it?
Yep. You got it.
Truthinmedia.com. Ben Swan, you're listening to The Power Hour. I'm Jack Blood. We'll be right back.
Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
You got us. It's the Power Hour. I'm Jack Flett, filling in for Joyce here every Thursday. Make sure you support the Power Hour, the Power Mall. Ben Swan has been nice enough to join us, give us his time this morning. I appreciate you, Ben. BenSwan.com is now TruthInMedia.com. But if you just put Ben Swan into your Googler or whatever, you'll come up and you'll get all the inside information, such as their direct on-the-ground coverage of the Baltimore situation. That's why you're so valuable, Ben. You do this fact-checking, and if I find myself disagreeing with you, you're one of the guys where I'll go back and check my math. Because if you said something, then it's different than what I'm thinking, then I'm wondering if I missed something. You definitely have that credibility with me. Talking about, again, the whole Baltimore thing, Ben Swan, I love this little video. This is not what democracy looks like. I thought that was really hypocritical, that chant, in many ways, because it looked like mob violence to me. And although that gets a lot of media attention, I'm not sure it wins over a lot of Americans. It certainly doesn't put us where we should be, the American people who love their freedom and liberty, versus the occupying force of the Gestapo, if that's the real case here. How much of this is about race, and what did you not like about the protests, the situation there on the ground in Baltimore?
Oh, no, I think, you know, there were dozens and dozens of peaceful protests. I think they were all handled very well in New York as well. Actually, it's funny. The title is "This Is Not What Democracy Looks Like," but not because that's what I believe. That's because that's what some of the chanters were saying as they were being taken off the street. And okay. So you actually have to go and watch the video and get to the end there. But one of the things that was happening in New York is when protesters went out, they just went and walked into the streets, and they were being arrested immediately for standing in the street and blocking traffic. And that's where they started chanting that. This is not what democracy looks like.
Okay. Well, no, but I heard them saying this was what democracy looks like. And it looked to me like a very divisive kind of a movement. And bringing race into this, I myself have been stopped and searched and frisked, yes, and questioned in high crime areas, not doing anything wrong. So, I mean, obviously, this is a problem of the poor and the disenfranchised, yes, against the establishment and their security forces. You know, I saw some footage. It looked like a war zone there. Luke Radowski was over there. You know him from from his organization. And it looked, man, the police were shooting some nonviolent pellets at them. I mean, it looked like it was Beirut in the 80s or something.
Yeah, well, and that's what's really crazy about it is, and by the way, I completely agree with your point about it being a war against the poor, but it's also, I think, generational. I think if you talk to anyone in this country who's under the age of 30 about how they view police and policing in this country, or anyone really who's under the age of 40, they give you a very different description than someone who's over the age of 40. Right? They view people who are over 40 have a very different view of policing because it's more of a historical view of how they remember policing.
Yeah, right.
People who are younger are saying, nah, it's a whole different game. It's about extracting money from people. It's about finding cause to arrest people and to lock them up.
No, but if you're bourgeois middle class now, this doesn't affect you, okay? And I get that. I understand because I'm not one of those. I am constantly affected by both the people on the street, the criminals, and the evilness there because it does exist, and the police. I'm caught in the middle of that. Do you think the body cams, this is supposed to be a solution? Every time I've seen body cams or car cams involved with police, if there's something that is debatable or disputable that they don't want you to see, they conveniently lose the footage.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with body cameras is, first of all, when departments bring in body cameras, number one, they only give them to rookies and they only give them to guys who have been on the force for the shortest amount of time. The guys who have been on the longest amount of time, the union makes sure that they don't have to wear them. So that doesn't help you in that respect. Unless 100% of the officers wear them, it's not effective. Number two, the claim is always that, oh, there was a malfunction, they didn't work right. You have all these issues of whether or not they even work. When are they turned off? When are they turned on? Unless you make it punishable by firing, if you are involved in an arrest and you have your body camera turn off. It's an automatic termination. Also, if you are involved in the death of someone...
Ben, I'm sorry we're just out of time here, but
okay. No problem,
I definitely see your point. We should be filming the police. That shouldn't be illegal. If they want more cameras, we're happy to comply. Ben Swan, truthandmedia.com. Congratulations on the new effort. We'll talk soon, Ben. We'll be right back for the third hour.